Hello, everyone. This is M.R. Rangaswamy here with Indiaspora. And today we have with us Anjula Acharya Bhatt, who's an investor, a pop culture enthusiast, and a philanthropist. She's founded her company, entertainment company, many of you know, called Desi Hits in 2007, helping drive diversity by introducing stars like Lady Gaga and Britney Spears to global markets. She also partnered with Jimmy Iovine to sign up international award-winning actress Priyanka Chopra, and she's done a lot of branding deals for her with NFL, Guess, Dr. Dre, and many other people. Anjula now sits at the center of tech and entertainment. Her three most recent angel investments have been ClassPass, The Hunt, and The Muse. We'll be talking about that with her quite a bit. And she's also helped a number of tech companies raise capital from Hollywood investors. She was named recently as one of Billboard's 2014 International Power Players and Top 40 Women in Music. Before she founded Desi Hits, she was in the tech space as well. She's passionate about mentoring entrepreneurs and bridging the gap between technology and entertainment. She was named in Vanity Fair's Next Establishment list and received numerous awards. She's been covered in Forbes magazine and on and on. And she's also on the advisory board of the UN Foundation. So, Anjula, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, great. So let's get started here. So very curious with your accent. I know you're not from the U.S., but can you take us through where you were born, where you grew up, how you got to the United States?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first off, thank you so much for having me on the show. It's a total pleasure to be here. You know, I almost detected an American accent in my voice with 1 second there. It's so funny. Every time, like, I say certain words, I've, like, Americanized certain words, and everybody in England says, why are you trying to put on an American accent? And I'm not. And then everybody here is like, you sound so English. But anyway, so, yes, I was born and raised in England. My parents came, you know, there from India, and I was born there and in a kind of leafy green suburb about 40 miles north of London, Buckinghamshire. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I mean, I guess that was kind of my early years, was born and raised there. And then I was there through until my late 20s, and my husband actually was working for Intel at the time, and that's what kind of brought us out here to the Bay Area. So he was kind of in the tech world, and, you know, we ended up coming here, and the rest is history, as they say.
So how did you get interested in tech and involved in tech this much? I mean, what made you focus on this space?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. In the early days, I was sort of in recruitment advertising, and I worked for a company called TMP Worldwide, which is, you know, a big American NASDAQ-listed company. And we actually had, you know, our first sort of online offering was Monster.com. Mm-hmm. So I was very much involved in the early days of Monster.com, advertising more from the parent company, TMP Worldwide. And that was really my first experience into kind of working within technology. And then from there, you know, every time there was kind of, you know, a startup required within TMP, a new division or, you know, a new department, it was kind of me that was the person that went off and did that. So I obviously, you know, sort of had an innate ability to start things and build things from scratch. And, you know, that's sort of the tech world in a nutshell, really. So that's kind of how I first got, you know, exposed to the tech world. It was really through Monster.com.
And then how do you go from Monster.com to Desi Hits? What was that all about?
Yeah, so, I mean, in my very sort of early childhood, I experienced a lot of racism. I mean, my parents, obviously, from India, had very thick Indian accents. And we, you know, unlike many Indians that came to the UK, we, you know, we were sort of raised in a very, very white suburb. So I don't even remember any families of color apart from one, like in my entire, you know, kind of neighborhood, my school. My brother and sister and I were the only South Asians. You know, it was from a diversity standpoint, it was, you know, very alienating. And I think that one of the biggest things that hit me as a child was just how, you know, the media sort of interpreted our culture and then therefore portrayed that out to the rest of the world. And it was often incredibly derogatory and, you know, stereotypes that just, you know, poked and made fun at us in a very negative way. And I think from a very early age, it sort of made me realize that how we were portrayed in popular culture was invariably how we were treated. So, you know, if there was something that was very derogatory on TV, the next day at school I would be, you know, kind of like sometimes beaten up. Like, you know, I suffered the next day for it. And it was obviously very distressing as a young child. So I think, like, from a very young age, I was so aware that, you know, pop culture had a really big impact on the way I was going to be treated. So I think fast forward, you know, into sort of founding Desi Hits. So, you know, my husband and I were in England. He was actually at the forefront at a very young age, sort of mixing a lot of Indian music with hip-hop and, you know, Bollywood beats with Bhangra and just kind of like reggae music. And when I moved to London from where I grew up, which was this very sort of leafy suburb, into, you know, obviously London, it was incredibly cultured and diverse. And there was a real sort of like mashup of West Indian culture and Indian culture, because those were the two big sort of minority populations, and they were, you know, invariably in the same neighborhood. So there was a real mashup of that kind of music. So I really experienced that in London. So my husband and I then sort of later on in life, you know, went into professional careers and moved to America. And I mean, Desi Hits was just kind of born out of a hunger for that, I suppose. We met a lot of kids here in America that, you know, either loved Indian music or hated it. And there was this real kind of divide we found between, you know, what, you know, folks here were, you know, kids that had kind of been born and raised in India but sort of come here, you know, in their sort of late teens, who were really into Indian music, and then kids that were born here with Indian parents that kind of hated Indian music. Mm-hmm. So my husband just met a lot of these kids and just for fun sort of put a podcast out, which was a mashup of the kind of music he was making when he was at university, was, you know, sort of like a mashup of Bollywood and Bhangra and hip-hop and all that kind of stuff. And it just really caught on. And we started, you know, we put it up on iTunes and it just went totally viral, and kids were really like demanding it and wanted it. And we decided, I was here in the Bay Area, and a venture capitalist that I knew really well said to me, look, I think you've got something here. Why don't you go and develop it? So that's kind of the story of how it evolved.
Wow. Fascinating. And so I think through Desi Hits, you started working with a lot of different people, you know, like Lady Gaga and others. How did you even think of, you know, getting in touch with someone like that and taking her to India, which was an amazing journey, right?
It was incredible. So Jimmy Iovine, who is the founder of Interscope Records, which is now part of the Universal Group, and also founder of Beats by Dre, which is now sold to Apple.
Yeah, right.
So Jimmy came on as an investor, really sort of just, you know, a year into the company, and had a huge impact on my life and our work and everything that we did. And, you know, one of the key things that I told him very early on when I met him was just that, you know, he was like, what's your goal? What's your vision? What drives you? And I was like, you know, I really want to change the face of pop culture. Like, I want to do, you know, I want to do things that make people think differently about my culture and who I am. And, you know, I want to make a dent so that, you know, I want images out there of, you know, things that I aspire to and that interest me. And he totally got it. Like, you know, he totally got it straight away. And then, you know, as we started working more and more together, he actually, what happened was I was in his office and he showed me a video of Lady Gaga. And he said to me, what do you think of her? And nobody knew of her at that point. And I said, I think she's amazing. Like, I was, you know, obviously really impressed by her. And I thought she had something really special and unique. And then my whole team, and we were all like, oh, she's going to be like the next, she's going to be the next Madonna. Actually, one of my co-founders said that. And I went back to Jimmy and I said, oh, I think she's going to be the next Madonna. And he was like, really? And he was like, yeah. And then we started sort of promoting and doing stuff with her in the UK. And then, you know, I got a phone call from her manager, Troy Carter, at the time, and Troy said, look, you know, we've, and this point she'd like broken everywhere. At this point she was a huge megastar.
Right.
And he was like, look, you know, we've sort of broken it everywhere and we've done really cool stuff with her everywhere and she's like this global star, but we haven't really touched India. And it's a market that's really interesting for Gaga, and Jimmy says, you're the person I should speak to, and, you know, what do you suggest?
Huh.
And so then we started working on her, and, you know, the most amazing thing about Lady Gaga is that she, I was just telling somebody last night, actually, that the first time I met Gaga, she struck me with a couple of things that she said. Like, first off, she was like a kind of walking economist. I mean, like, you know, she knew so much about India, to the point where, you know, she was telling me about the size of the middle class, and, like, you know, it was, like, incredible. And then she said something to me which stuck with me, which is what she said was, I'd really love to sing Born This Way in Hindi.
Huh.
And normally what people say to me, I'd really like to sing my song in Indian.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was like, oh, like, you know the language. And she was like, yeah, but she said there's so many different dialects in India. She was like, do you think Hindi's the right one to hear it in? And, you know, I understand that Bollywood's, like, you know, the major film industry there, and that's where I picked Hindi. And I was just kind of blown away. And I actually introduced Priyanka Chopra to her. And even Priyanka was like, wow, she's, like, amazing.
Yeah.
Like, and I was like, yeah, she's so intelligent and educated and aware of the world. So it was an incredible journey, actually, and we worked with her for a long time, and, you know, I still work with her team, and, you know, we worked with Suleiman Suleiman, who did, you know, a number of different versions of her tracks with us, and, you know, and then eventually sort of took her to India, and it was just an incredible journey. She was, you know, incredibly respectful and culturally very aware, but also, you know, wasn't afraid to be herself, and it's a really talented artist that can be very inclusive wherever they go, but also, you know, maintain their individuality.
Oh, that's fantastic. If I remember at that time, the Formula One race was in Delhi, and there was a concert. Her concert was tagged along with that as well, I think.
Yeah. So basically Arjun Rampal was kind of doing, you know, had a huge event going on, and then he asked us if she could headline that, and it was the first year of Formula One. So yeah, it was great, and, you know, her performance was incredible. Like, she, you know, she worked with a lot of local talent there to, like, incorporate that into the act. And she performed the remixes that we'd done of the songs of, like, Born This Way, and I think it was another song, I can't remember which one it was called now, but, like, a couple of years ago now. But, yeah, she'd done a number of tracks that we'd worked on together. And, you know, and then we also did a TV show with Shah Rukh Khan, which was phenomenal.
Right.
And what I loved the most was that she really, you know, we brought in lots of school kids from different colleges in Mumbai, and to come in, and, you know, we did, like, an audience with her and with Shah Rukh Khan, and a, sort of, like, you know, in conversation with. But what was really incredible and what was really meaningful for me was just how she really reached out to the LGBT community, especially, you know, the youth within that community, and people were coming forward and crying, and it was, like, it was lots of laughter, but there was lots of tears. And just how people had said to her, you know, she made them feel like they belonged. She made them feel like they could be who they wanted to be. And, you know, even in a country like India that, you know, is, you know, really plagued with some issues around this, you know, whether it's, like, legislation or, you know, antiquated laws that are stopping people living their lives. I just thought it was really great that she really embraced that community and really sort of brought forth the conversation that they needed to have.
Oh, that's great. So what was your most memorable moment during, you know, that time when you took her to India, when you took Lady Gaga there?
I think it was that, actually.
Yeah.
I was, you know, one young guy who sort of stood up and talked about his journey and, you know, how hard it was for him in India.
Mm.
To be openly gay, and that she'd given him a lot of strength, and it was really meaningful to him that she was there. I think that was really, you know, and afterwards, like, Gaga came up to me, and she just hugged me, and you know, she was really quite teary, and it really meant a lot to her. And she thanked me, and I was like, I'm gonna thank you. She was like, no, I really just appreciate that you give me the platform to go out and to connect with these people that are on the other side of the world, but listen to my music and are impacted by my message, that I've had an opportunity to actually, you know, reach out and touch them. And that's just, like, awesome. Like, to me, she's you know, got a really deep sense of responsibility to that community, and I think it's amazing.
Fantastic. And I mean, you work with so many interesting people. I want to move on to another megastar that you've been working with, Priyanka Chopra. So
yes.
How did you get connected with her and, you know, get into a partnership and so forth?
You know, that's a funny story. Actually, so Jimmy Iovine and I had worked with A.R. Rahman on doing kind of like our version of with the Pussycat Dolls of Jer Hall. And it was also amazing. And we were on this massive high. It was like, you know, a top 10 track in 10 markets. And I said to Jimmy, like, I want to take Bollywood to the middle of America. That's what I kept saying to him. And he was like, let's do it. Like, he's that guy. Like, when you get him excited about something, it's all guns blazing. And, you know, he's just like, let's do it. So we did that, and it was really amazing, and, you know, it done really well. And then he was kind of like, what's the next project? And I was like, well, you know, there's this girl named Priyanka Chopra. And 6 years prior to this day, that day that I was talking to him, I'd seen her in this movie called Bluffmaster, and they'd done this, like, hip-hop spoof. And I just remember thinking that she was really hot and, like, really interesting. She had this kind of swag, and I was just like, if I was ever going to take anyone, and at that point, I didn't even think I was ever going to be doing anything like this. So at that point, I was like, if I was ever going to do anything, it would be with someone like Priyanka. And then, you know, fast forward 6 years, and I'm with Jimmy, and I was like, you know, there's this girl, and, like, so I showed him some videos of her, and he was like, yeah, she looks amazing. And then he sort of introduced me to some folks in the UK, and he said, you know, maybe we should start with doing something in the UK with her, because there's a big audience there of South Asians. Ended up that we didn't do that, and we ended up coming back to America because we just kind of wanted to do the project out of America, because I wanted to change America. For me, America is the, you know, the impetus of pop culture, I feel, although English music is ruling the charts right now, so maybe I should take that back. But, I actually reached out to an old friend of mine, or somebody that used to work for my company, Dev Raj, who now runs Universal Music Group. He connected me to Suleiman Suleiman, who randomly had recorded a demo with Priyanka. And they sent me the demo, and I was like, oh, my God, this chick can really sing. And I was like, can you connect me to her? So they connected me to her manager, and I spoke to her manager, and then Natasha, and then I spoke to Priyanka. And I just remember the first call. She was on, like, she was on set in the middle of nowhere. She was doing this crazy movie, and she didn't really say very much. So I was sitting there saying, hey, look, you know, I'm working with this guy, Jimmy Iovine. He's behind Eminem. He's behind 50 Cent. He's behind Lady Gaga. He's behind U2. Like, he's, like, a force to be reckoned with. And I'd really love to talk to you about music. And, you know, she said, okay. And we flew out to India, myself and a couple of folks from Universal Music Group, and I guess I convinced her to go on this journey with me. And she agreed, and it was took a bit of convincing, because I don't think she even thought I was for real at the beginning. I think she thought I was like, who is this person saying all this stuff at me? But yeah, she sort of realized that I was the real deal, and then, you know, we went on this journey.
Yeah, she must have been thinking, who's this British girl saying, I'll take you to America?
Exactly. I think she was like very much, oh yeah, I've heard these stories before, and then the next thing you know, literally we were in New York having dinner with Jimmy, myself, and Priyanka, and it was such a surreal moment. I mean, there's going to be so many moments in this career, you know, of me being in music and tech, but it was just like totally surreal moments where I can't even believe I'm sitting there, like, you know. I remember when I first met Jimmy, he flew out to New York to have breakfast with me to talk about investing in Desi Hits, and I'm having breakfast with him, and Jay-Z shows up, and I have breakfast with him and Jay-Z. And just like, you're sort of sitting there going, is this really happening right now?
That's amazing. So tell me a little bit about the Oscar experience with Priyanka. That was so well covered and tweeted and everything, you know?
Yeah, it was, you know, it was amazing. But I love her and I could kill her at the same time because she won an award for basically going on new journeys.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there in kind of like a jeans dungarees because I didn't think I was going to be on camera.
Mm.
And we were just sitting there and I was sitting like next to John Travolta and she was sitting on my other side. And she said, hey, look, you know, I'm not going to stick around because like she was super tired. She'd performed. She was there really early. And she was like, but I've got to get my award and I really think it makes sense for you to get it. And I was like, what? And she was like, yeah. She was like, you've taken me on this new journey. And she was absolutely beat. Like, she was like, I can't stay and do this. So she was like, but I think you're the right person to come pick that award up for me. So, yeah, I sort of, like, went up on stage and picked up her award. And, you know, the most amazing thing about Priyanka to me is just her fearlessness. I mean, don't get me wrong, she'll have a moment where all of us, like, we're like, oh, my God, can I do this? Should I do this? But she always gets through it, and she really is totally fearless. And, you know, I think it's amazing that she sort of trusted me and came on this journey because, you know, I mean, it's heartbreaking in America. It's hard doing all this stuff. And I think, you know, intrinsically she sees it as she's a creative individual and she just likes to have different avenues to express that. But, you know, like I said, it's sort of, it's a big deal to go to another country and another industry, which is huge, and make a dent. And she has, and, you know, she continues to strive through it.
Fantastic. We're going to take a short break and come back with Angela, so don't go away. Hello again, everyone. This is M.R. Rangaswamy with Indiaspora. And we're having a fascinating conversation with Angela Acharya Bhatt. We covered her days with stars like Lady Gaga and Priyanka Chopra. And now we're going to go to another phase in her career, which is working with tech, working with women entrepreneurs and the like. So, Angela, let's kind of shift gears here and say, find out how you got into, I know your husband was at Intel and doing things in tech. How did you get into the tech part of tech?
Well, I was always slightly in the tech part. Well,
yes.
No, I was always in the tech part of tech, actually. So prior to Daisy Hit, I was working in executive search with the VC community, so basically finding C-level talent for early-stage startups. And then prior to that, as I mentioned to you, I was one of the advisors, very early advisors, for Monster.com from its parent company side. So I was always in tech and obviously ended up founding my own startup within tech. So, yeah, I was kind of always in it, but I guess never felt like I was in a position to really help people until I really done my own startup and been successful in raising money.
Right. And I know recently you've done investments in ClassPass, The Hunt, and The Muse. Can we talk a little bit about that, what each one of those deals, how did you find ClassPass, and what do you think about that?
Well, you know, it's so funny. I have to tell you a very sweet story because I was actually with Payal Kadakia, who's the CEO and founder of ClassPass, last night. I actually took her to meet Britney Spears because she's a longtime fan of Britney Spears. Mm. And when I first met her, the first thing she said was like, can we do a deal with Britney Spears? And I was like, we're a bit early for that at this stage. But, but like, she was just, I mean, her whole ClassPass was, you know, really started because she was a dancer, which is why she loved Britney, and she just kind of had this vision and dream and thought it shouldn't be so difficult to find a dance class in New York, and that's kind of how the company was born. But just sort of backing up a second, I was introduced to Payal through Warner Music Group, who was a client of mine through Daisy Hits, and she was working there, and somebody from them had said to me, oh, you know, Payal, she works for us, and she wants to go off into a startup, and she's this really smart girl, and do you think you could, you know, point her in the right direction or help her? And I was like, sure. So she came into my office on a Friday, and, you know, she's strikingly beautiful and smart, and I was kind of, like, bowled over by her the moment she sort of walked in. And I knew her loosely from other things as well. She'd done some stuff with Daisy Hits prior to that, but we didn't really know each other super well. So she came in and she told me about her idea, which was it started off really as the open table for classes. And I said to her, I said, well, it sounds great, and, you know, you sound amazing. You are amazing. Why don't you put together a business plan? And then Saturday night, very late at night, I get a business plan from her, and I opened it on Sunday, and it really to get really put together well. And I said to her, look, why don't you come in and see me on Monday? And on Monday she came in, and we talked through the business plan, and, you know, I just had this feeling about her, and I just said, look, where are you going to start working from? And she said, well, you know, my co-founder and I will probably work out a Starbucks. And I said, look, there are four desks over there. Go for your life. Go and build your company. I really believe in you. I really think you've got something there. And, you know, I want to support you, and I'm here to help you, and I'm here to advise and mentor you as much as I can. And I can probably tell you what not to do more than what I can tell you to do, because I've made so many mistakes myself. And, you know, she was with me for a year in that office. And actually, I then moved out of that office, and she kept the lease. She kept the office on. And in that time, she did Techstars, and she developed this platform. And the company pivoted, you know, a couple of times to do different things. But she just – what I always loved about Pyre was that she just never gave up, and she just kept at it. And, you know, it's funny. I said to her last night, you know, we were – the VIP at the Britney show, and I said, you know, it's like tech stars and pop stars are colliding, and here she is as a tech star, and there was Britney as a pop star, and, you know, the world had come together. But, yeah, so that's kind of how I met Pyle, and was really blown away, and, you know, the company has just grown amazingly so, and is really becoming kind of a household name. And I meet people all the time, and I'm, you know, I could be in like an elevator somewhere and someone would be talking about ClassPass, and I just sit there, you know, and smile.
Yeah.
so it's just great to see them evolve the way they have.
So how about The Hunt and The Muse? Can you quickly talk a little bit about those companies?
For sure, yes. Yeah, so The Muse is run by an amazing entrepreneur called Catherine Minshew.
Mm-hmm.
It's really funny, actually. The Muse, I just found one day. I was just kind of on a site, and I just came across it, and I loved it. And it reminded me, and I've been saying for a long time that I think that, you know, the recruitment industry really needs to be disrupted. Obviously, I was working for Monster for many years. Sorry, advising Monster.
Right.
So I really kind of felt like that industry needed to be disrupted in many ways. And I felt like the very smart thing about Catherine is, she's really focused on the millennial,
mm-hmm.
and I think they speak to each other, and they speak as a voice. Their voice is very much in images and videos and pictures, and, you know, you look at Instagram and Pinterest and YouTube, and you see how people are communicating. And her, you know, The Muse really does that. So it's a recruitment platform, but it has a very strong sort of content bias, and the content's very sort of BuzzFeed-like, so it's kind of, you know, 10 things you should never say in an interview and 3 things you should say to your boss, and then has amazing companies that are recruiting on there, you know, like companies like Facebook and Google. And so I found that the company myself, and then I just saw it. And then randomly I was at the, you know, Forbes Top 100 Women Conference or something like that, Power Women Conference. And literally she was walking past me and I was walking past her. And for some reason, she caught my eye, and I think I caught her eye. And we looked at each other like we knew each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then my eyes dropped to her badge, and I just, like, screamed. And I was like, oh, my God. I was like, I love your company. And she was like, oh, my God. Like, and then we spent, like, 2 hours together. And, you know, I was like, look, I want to help you. I want to help you raise money, and I want to help you with your company. And I really think you're onto something. And you know, and then, you know, we just continued from there. So it's been amazing. And The Hunt actually came to me through an organization called Startup Agency that just kind of helps startups.
Mm-hmm.
And they were looking to raise a strategic round. So I really helped them raise some strategics from, like, the Hollywood world,
mm-hmm.
and just help them close that round out. And then I got involved and started just, you know, advising them. And they're a crowdsourcing fashion platform, which is really, really cool. You should check it out. And I've recently done another investment with a company called Q, which is basically kind of like this, like basically a healthcare company, which is doing some really great stuff.
How do you spell that company?
C-U-E.
Okay, got it. So you're pretty busy, and I think you now said you're working more in the Bay Area with more tech companies here. Are women a focus of your effort?
You know, a deep soft spot for obviously helping female entrepreneurs. I take a very positive spin, by the way, on female entrepreneurs. I think the news out there is always very like negative and it's very much like it is difficult for women to raise money. We do have, you know, more challenges, but you know, I have challenges for being South Asian. I have challenges for, you know, being all sorts of things. Speaking with an English accent that half the time people can't understand. So life is full of challenges. So I don't focus on that. I just focus on what we can do and how we can do it and solving those problems. I love working with female entrepreneurs because, to be honest with you, the reason I love working with female entrepreneurs is because I'm more on the consumer tech side. And the internet is dominated by women. So I feel like we should be part of the decision-making process, whether it's what companies to back and fund or the companies that are being built that we are gonna consume. So there's also kind of a very savvy business reason behind working with women.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. And what is next on the cards for you?
Well, right now I'm actually... I'm at Trinity Ventures, which is a fund up here in the Bay Area that I absolutely love. And the reason, you know, when Trinity Ventures invited me to come and be their EIR, which is their entrepreneur in residence, I was super excited about it because the fund is really diverse from many perspectives. It's diverse from the types of deals that they do. So they've done everything from like Starbucks to Jamba Juice to PF Chang's and then Zulily, which was a huge, you know, e-commerce company, and most recently done companies like New Relic and Docker, which are, you know, far more on the sort of like, you know, deep sort of tech side. So I love the diversity of the fund, and I love the diversity of the EIR program. So, you know, I have the flexibility to kind of work on some ideas that I am working on, which are a kind of combination between sort of tech and pop culture, but also, you know, pretty much work as a VC and look at all the deals that they're looking at and work with them on investment. And then the other part I love about the fund from a diverse standpoint is that, you know, it's racially diverse and they have women there, two women partners who are amazing. And it's just like, you know, different ages. And it's just a really, really great fund. Like, I really love it. So that's kind of what I'm doing right now.
Fabulous. And looks like you're keeping busy and busier than ever. So I have to ask you this. What do you do to relax?
Well, believe it or not, my downtime is really spent. I love doing philanthropic work. Like, I really want to change the world. It sounds so like Miss Worldish to say that, but and I'm not Miss World either. I just happen to co-manage one. I get a lot of joy out of philanthropy. I really want to make an impact to girls and education. Like, that's my big soft spot. I just think we're so lucky to have everything that we have. And, you know, if I was born in a slum in India, my life would be so different. And it's kind of the luck of the draw. And I know that I always think that if I was that child born in a slum in India and I was looking at Anjula Acharya Bath in San Francisco, I'd be like, why isn't that person helping me? You know, that's a big part of what I do in my downtime. But also, you know, I love my girlfriends. I'm a real girls girl, so I love hanging out with my girlfriends. And I have a dog, and I'm a big animal lover, so my dog means the world to me, and obviously my husband. So, you know, it's just really spending time with treasured people. Like, that's probably what I do in my downtime, and obviously like stay fit and all of that kind of stuff. And I'm a big Bollywood dancer, by the way.
Oh wow.
I can't dance like Priyanka, but I tell you, like, get me on the dance floor and well,
is there a YouTube video on you that I can see?
Well, actually, there is. A good friend of mine, Rohan Oza, and I had a 40th birthday party together, and HBO filmed it, and we have a Bollywood dance off. So yeah, there is some stuff up there you can see.
I'll look that up. So one final question, Anjula. This has been a fantastic conversation. Tell us one thing about you that nobody knows.
Oh my gosh! You know, I normally say that I'm a secret Bollywood dancer. You totally stumped me with that. I just said the one that I normally say.
That's okay. We'll let you get off the hook here. No, not a problem.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah.
That's such a cop out. No, I have to give you something.
Okay.
Like, that's such a cop out. Okay, to sound very sort of like, well, I'm very spiritual, so I meditate a lot and I pray a lot. So maybe, I don't think a lot of people know that about me.
Okay, fantastic. So it's been a great conversation here with you, Angela, and we look forward to hearing more from you in the future. Ladies and gentlemen, the show is produced by Monica Patel. The theme music is by Rina Ismail. The interlude music by Jahan Shah. Thank you.
Thank you.